Welcome again to the Jung Depth Psychology Podcast, Episode 5. Now we're getting into the Jung business, what we've been waiting for. So in the first 4 episodes, it's been, you know, a bit of foundational work, a bit of a Nietzsche in the first episode to understand the unconscious and the conscious and the personality number 1 and personality number 2. Then we delved into some Kant, the limits of our human reason. And now we're heading into archetypes and psychic reality. And this is the meat and potatoes of Jung. Today we're focusing on a passage from Collected Work 7, which is called 2 Essays on Analytical Psychology. And this one, I go deep. I mean, I'm in some deep thought on this podcast and this episode. I went places and I learned, and I hope you go places as well. It's just great, great Jungian passages, you know, and Jungian thoughts that we're breaking down. You're going to start thinking of concrete reality versus psychic reality and the archetypes and how they're formed and their nature. So without further ado, let's rock and roll. And I'm going to cut the audio to Archetypes and Psychic Reality, Episode 5. Let's roll. Today I'm discussing psychic reality and archetypes. We're going to dig into Collected Work 7. I'll quote Jung a bit and then add my thoughts. Let's get into it. Jung says, "There's nothing for it but to recognize the irrational as necessary. Recognize it as a necessary, ever-present psychological function, and to take its contents not as concrete realities, that would be a regression, but as psychic realities, real because they work." That's very interesting. So you don't take the irrational, it's a necessary psychological function, but you don't take it as a concrete reality. You take it as a psychic reality. Because Jung said psychic reality is reality. And this comes back to the Marion Woodman video I posted on Instagram recently, where she says in the modern world, we concretize things and it's bad. And that's what Jung is saying here. But what he's done is he's contrasted something I haven't picked up on before. Concrete realities with psychic reality. That's opposites then. That's very important. Psychic reality, as Peter Kingsley yells, for Jung, psychic reality is reality. That's Peter Kingsley. Jung says it too. And here we have concrete reality contrasted. The real, what we can hold real, in quotation. External world. Psychic reality. So because it works is why we engage in psychic reality. It just is. It can be irrational. That forms into the religious-like life. Symbolic life that Jung talks about. It works. So if there's something religious-like in your attitude to life, it doesn't have to be literal religion. We won't get into the role of Christianity in religion today, the projections, because in Collected Work 16, Jung explains how, you know, the projections from the church have been withdrawn, the mother and father projections. And he talks about transference, both in the therapeutic setup between client and therapist, but also how, on a grander scale, there is a parental projection. So when we had religion, for example, you could consider this a psychic reality, I guess, an unconscious one that was being lived out. But when religion was more prominent, especially Catholic religion has a lot more symbolism that's archetypal. For example, Jung gives the example in Collected Work 16 of the priest, for the male priest being a father projection, could be a father complex projection, or that just the role of the father archetype. And then the church itself being the mother archetype projection. And that those parental imagos, parental images, ideal images of parents that we carry, that relation to the concept of father and mother that really become archetypal and no human can carry, although we expect that of parents, which is no one can truly fulfill that, the archetypal nature of that task completely. It's a heavy expectation of perfection to have on a human. That's why there's an archetypal element to it. But Jung says that was projected onto the church, but now with the diminishing of the role of the church and its rituals, what's holding the parental projection? What's holding that projection? Where is it gone? Well, it goes back in. You withdraw the projection, then it can, you can identify with it. You can, if you go into God image stuff, you project that onto, it can be the career can become that. The workplace can be a mother projection, similar to the church. But I mean, that's quite hollow stuff. You know, there isn't, that can be quite a hollow religious life. And we see that with a lot of people in the corporate world. Just jump on LinkedIn if you want to see some weird stuff. But yeah, so I'm getting into the, I don't even know how I got there. I'm just freestyling. But yeah, you see the projection, psychic reality. Don't concretize it. When you are projecting those archetypes onto institutions, you are concretizing in a way. Yeah, it's not very conscious. It is infantile way of relating to the world. Because it's different if you have a religious life, religious-like function, religious-like life, and I don't mean literal, I mean a religious attitude. If you do it consciously, that's different. There's a difference between identifying with a mother institution like a workplace or a job, making it concrete. You're concretizing an archetypal energy of mother, father, a God image. If you big grandiose inflation, what people more commonly say, narcissistic. If you go back to our Kant videos, we talk about categories and words are just words. Ordering the disorder, or in when you go to the DSM level, ordering the disorders, the psychological disorders. But if you're concretizing the projection, for example, of a mother complex, of a mother archetype, if you put it on an institution or a job. But what happens if you're conscious? So if you take a religious, now I'm philosophizing here with you. If you're conscious that I'm going to have a religious-like attitude to my work, you're aware now. You're not blindly identified. That's where the problem is. A projection is unconscious. But if you're aware and you take on a religious attitude, you can say, this job is not just a nine, depending on the job and what it means to you. That's where you do the inner work. So you end up in a vocation, if possible. I'm going to go to this job, and it's not just a 9-to-5. There's a meaning there. There's something you're doing that that has a value beyond yourself to the collective. This is later stage individuation stuff. You're not concretizing it. You're aware. You're aware that it's a job. It is what it is. But its meaning, its psychic reality, is real. It works. That's why Jung says here it works. It's irrational. It is. It's opposites. Because it is just a job in one sense, where you get paid and you pay the bills. But it's irrational if, or it has elements of irrationality, if it's meaning more to you and you're aware of it, because that's a contradiction. And we're getting into a circle again. We're going round and round. Circumambulation is part of the process too. It's not linear. So, yeah, that gets into a bit of psychic reality. It works, even though it might not be completely rational. So you could be in a job that on the outside just seems it has no value to one person, but to another, it's not just the money earned or what's happening. It could mean something else. That's psychic reality. It is real to the person, but you want to do it consciously. That's the problem. That's the problem. But yeah, concrete realities. We don't. And that's what Marion Woodman was getting at in that video. They used the example of addiction. They concretize. See, she's bloody smart, Marion. That's why everyone reads her books. People into this field, not everyone literally. But yeah, she's saying people concretize sex. They try to concretize, I'm making this up, but man, it's feeling good to me. It's making sense. They concretize joy. So she talked about addiction, drinking. You make the beer, the wine. It's concretizing the experience. Sex. The sex addiction, the going out, the, you know, that's very prevalent these days. The drinking. How else do we concretize it? Money. We concretize it, goddammit. We do. See? That's what Marion was getting at. I didn't get it. We concretize it with money. How much we earn, how much we spend. We concretize it with the instead of the ritual of cooking at home and sharing it and the process of making it there's a psychic reality to that. What that means to you, you know, an expensive dinner at the high-end restaurant. We pay for it. How else do we do it? We concretize power. I don't like power, that word, because that love's better. But that is I said that because that's part of society, and that's me repressing. That is the Adlerian power drive, the inferiority complex, the opposite of Eros love, which is what I wanted to go to. We concretize that through the title of the job, through the position, the ranking, the car that's owned, the brand. We concretize success through the lady or gentleman with the BMW, the Ferrari. What else do we concretize? The home, how big it is, where it's located. Man, that's a big one. We're concrete in many Western cultures. We concretize the location you live in is a big deal. We concretize our mental health, how well we're doing. I do that. I like to feel like I'm managing it well. I got over the complex when something triggers. I'm just being really honest now. this is something that I would reserve for analysis and has come up, in fact, yesterday. So I'll share it. I like to feel like I managed it. I concretize a complex, getting over it. when you concretize, then you're avoiding feeling, which is what I'm doing, that vulnerability. Yeah. You know what? We concretize even vulnerability when people try to define something that's happened, but as a concrete badge to get something out of it, when it should perhaps be a psychic reality. I don't know about that one. I don't even know if that makes sense. I'm in deep thought now. I'm not going to make it more concrete than that, ironically. That was interesting. I never really picked up all that. It shows you by talking, same with journaling, things come out. That wasn't really the plan of my focus, but I'll read a little more. Yeah, we stayed on psychic reality, concretizing. I didn't link psychic reality and concrete reality. That's good. That's an important link from a Jungian point of view. He mentions next, archetypes or dominants have crystallized out in the course of time. They are the ruling powers, the gods, images of the dominant laws and principles. There's just too much to talk about in the video, but I'm going to leave it here. When Jung talks about archetypes, now this is Collected Work 7, Collected Work 9, Part 1 is his main book on archetypes. He uses the analogy of the formation of a crystal. Okay. And it's important to remember, because he talks about it's not the content, it's the form, how it's formed. And notice here, in another book, he's saying, over eons, they're formed in our collective unconscious, the archetypes, with certain features, the archetypes have crystallized out in the course of time. Again, he uses the word crystal. In Jung's mind, they crystallized. They're formed like the crystal. The actual content itself can be in different shapes, but in his mind, there's the crystallization, how they form. That's very important to him. But here he links that crystallization out over eons. Large spaces of time, large periods of time, they crystallize in the collective unconscious. So they're forming a certain way. They're not concrete. See? God, Jung's deep. This is just a few sentences. They're not concrete. Psychic reality is not concrete reality. The archetypes are a psychic reality, but they're not concrete. They crystallize, they form in a way over time. And we experience them. The more you define it, the more you lose it, the more concrete you make it, the more you lose the archetype. But it works, is what he says. Psychic reality works. And they're opposites, the concrete and the psychic reality. Don't concretize things. That's the lesson. I'm going to leave you with my favorite Peter Kingsley quote. Peter Kingsley said, "For Jung, psychic reality is reality." It's not a joke. He said, "The archetypes," and this is now Kingsley, Peter Kingsley said about Jung,
the archetypes for Jung were not, they're not something you switch on and off. They're real. The complexes, you know, some people approach this like, when it suits me, I switch it on and off. And I get it, because I've done that in the past. It's very convenient. But it doesn't work. You got to take it seriously. If you're going to, you either do it or you don't. It's like what Robert Johnson said about individuation. You're not kind of individuating. He equated it to being pregnant. You're pregnant or you're not. He said it with a smirk. And it's the same with archetypes. You just bandy it about and it's a bit of this, a bit of that. It doesn't really work like that. Archetypal possession, to be possessed by an energy, that sort of state, I mean, it's no joke. Psychic reality is reality for Jung. But he acknowledges the concrete reality. That's the opposites. It's a rational psychic reality, but it works. That's just how we are. And that's the lesson. Hope you enjoyed it. I did. I learned a lot today by talking, because I didn't think of it this way before I started the video. So I hope you got something from it too.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a positive review. Jump on the Instagram and listen to the next episode, because we're starting to get deeper and deeper into Jungian psychology. Have a great day.